December 21st, 2009. Living and Dying with Honor, Bible Study Lesson number 118, which within it is a sub-series of Begins to Guide a Man, Bible Study Lesson number 30. If you're going to orientate to history, if you're going to have impact upon history, if you're going to live and die with honor, you need to understand the Father's Eternal Grace Protocol, Plan of the Ages. You as a believer in Jesus Christ need to be able to totally orientate to what God is doing, what His plan is all about. We're living in fascinating times in world history. We're living in the fastest period of change the world has seen since Adam was driven out of the Garden of Eden. Or the flood, I should say. The flood, and then before that, when Adam was driven out of the Garden of Eden. As far as cultural and impact change is concerned, the greatest spiritual change of all time was Adam being driven out of the garden and the Lord Jesus Christ coming at His first advent. We'll have to look at the peaks of history from a biblical viewpoint. We're looking at the period of the cultural period that began with God, establishing the theocentric kingdom on this earth with Adam and Eve. A very simple kingdom, a kingdom that started out with authority, responsibility, and order. It was just Adam. And then the giving him of Eve for his wife, and the beginning of what would be after he left the flood, after he was driven from the garden, the family orientation context. It was a rural culture. Again, it had a nationalistic aspect to it because it would have leadership concepts. Adam was given leadership responsibilities in the garden. The soul of man was awakened by God when He breathed into Adam the breath of lives. And Adam began to understand and relate to God. This greater God. This was a cultural system in the garden. Before we begin, let's pause for solid prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and you have absolute objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank You for the privilege of teaching Your Word, for Your Word is absolute truth. We claim Your promise, Your Word will not return void, but will accomplish all that You designed it for. We ask You to sanctify it and bless it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name we pray, saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, we like to look back and turn our nose up from a false concept that the world system is behind us. We mock what's come and gone because we think that everything is better. Cultural evolution has been sold upon the American world. Not using that term, but that's what it is. Everything gets better. Man is so much smarter, so much more intelligent, so much better. But the feelings of life and the development of life in the antediluvian world was far superior to what we have. In many, many ways, it degenerated down. There was less known truth on the principle of divine revelation from God, and that He has progressive revelation. How much He gave to the dispensation of the Gentiles, or dispensation of man, as we also call it. We do not know because the written account of Scripture began with Moses. We do know, though, from the monographs in Scripture that they were writing things. We know that shortly after the flood, the Great Pyramid was built. Probably by Shem, who brought from the other side of the flood, from the antediluvian days, genius and honor and glory as a representative of God, glorifying God in what He did. A sinner like you and I, but a man of God, a man who had seen the life on the other side of the flood and would live and see life on this side of the flood for a tremendous period of time. We point out to you that Shem would live until either 2156 or 2158 AF after the fall. A tremendous period of time. He was alive when Abraham was alive. Abraham was born in 2121. I'm sorry, Abraham died in 2121. He outlived Abraham by 37 years. Shem, we're going to see, was a great man. We come to him for the impact upon history. Isaac was actually 105 years old the day that Shem died. Sorry for us to contemplate the shorter lifespans that we have in the world today. But all goes back to the establishment of the theocratic kingdom in the garden, and we were looking at the son's education of Adam to prepare Adam to live in this world. I'm not going to review all the points in the introduction that we covered in the last class. We'll pick up with the and review though from point 16. Adam was created in the image of God so he could fellowship with God. We saw that the image was the image of the Son's body, and the Son's body represented the image as the God-man represented God. His purpose was to fellowship with God. Verse 17, we gave you the culture was created for Adam was theocentric because Adam could fellowship with the Creator God, but he was given the revelation of the triune Godhead. 18, the documentation Adam knew he was living in a theocentric culture was his use of the title Jehovah Elohim when he recorded these events in his monograph in Genesis 2, 7, 8, 9, 15, 16, 18, 21, 22. 19, Adam was not simply placed upon the earth to wander where he chose to go, but was given a home in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 2, 15, 8. These are repeat points to bring you up to refresh your memory. 20, the Son prepared the Garden of Eden specifically for Adam so that he lived in a land that would supply all of his temporal needs, Genesis 2, 8 to 14. Principle, the Son gave Adam the Garden of Eden as Adam's personal status, and God that Adam was given information concerning the value of having a home in his own land, of his own land to go with it. 21, the Son commanded Adam to dress. The Hebrew word we saw, abad, A-B-A-D, means to till the soil to keep it productive at the highest of levels. This implies instruction training, Genesis 2:15b. The garden had no thorns and thistles, so this was not hard work, but it was truly productive work. This command was a positive precept for Adam to keep. It also typifies our spiritual life responsibility to have spiritual production for God. We gave you the principle Adam was a farmer planting and sowing his crops for maximum production. The Spirit of Son educated Adam in botany. The Son commanded Adam to keep. The Hebrew word shamar, S-H-A-M-A-R, means to guard the garden, and this implied instructions and training regarding the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict, Genesis 2:15c. We gave you four principles. Adam was warned to be on guard against something that would be a danger to him and to his garden, but no details are given as to what the warning concerned. We don't know how much information was given, so we can't speculate. Thus, the command was a negative precept for Adam to keep. Adam was not deceived by Satan speaking to the serpent. 1 Timothy 2:14 says he knew that what was going on was wrong. First of all, this implies that the warning to be on guard may have included at least minimal knowledge of the spiritual warfare and of the spiritual spirit world, the world of the sons of El. Perhaps both elect and fallen. Probably did to some extent if he was to guard against unique things, but how much details we don't know. Point 23, the Son gave him freedom to use his own volition to choose what he wanted to eat, on any given day, and all of the fruit and vegetables in the garden are available to him except for what? The fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Genesis 2:16. 24, the son forbid him to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and warned him to do so, which the die spiritually and physically, Genesis 2:17. First middle century culture provided a work environment and work ethic, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. 125, Adam does not record the instructions he received concerning the value of eating of the tree of life, but at the very least he knew it would perpetuate his life even if he was spiritually dead, Genesis 2:9, compared to verses 17 with 3:22. As we saw, God had to lock Adam out of the garden because Adam would have eaten the tree of life, sustained himself perpetually in sin and evil. This brought us to point 26 when we left off. The details that Adam gives concerning the river that flowed from the garden and the four rivers that sprang forth out of it implied that the sun taught him geography and topography. First of all, Adam was told that one day he would have a helpmate and they would have a prodigy who would replenish the population of the entire earth. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 20. Genesis 2:20. King James translation says that Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but to Adam there was not found to help meet for him. Compare that to verse 28 of chapter 1. There was no help meet for him. Chapter 1, verse 28. A says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, that was Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Replenish the earth, bear children. A, instructions in the value of water was a necessity, as a necessity of life, instructions in the value of water as a necessity of life was given because even though Adam lived in perfect body, it was still a human body and he needed water as well as fruit. No instruction in matters of means of travel may have been included because he clearly told the prodigy would replenish the earth's population there in 1:28b. Replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and of everything that moveth upon the earth. So the value of water for agricultural uses may also be included because he was told he needed to subdue the Hebrew. It's Kavash, K-A-B-A-S-H-C-R, Genesis 1:28c. So this implied that while all of the Father's restoration work was good, he had left work for Adam to do and bring the earth back to its original state for maximum productivity. Genesis 1:21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep. I'm sorry, it's 2:21, 1:21. And God created the world, every living creature that moveth upon the waters, both forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 28 with verse 28c there. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and upon every living thing that moveth upon the earth. B, all fish, fowl, animal life were placed under Adam's authority, and this implied instructions in ichthyology, that's sea life, ornithology, bird life, and zoology, that's land animal life. The dominion over the animals, place the earth, subduing the earth, dominion over the animals, implied that Adam was educated in these courses. To how deep a degree, we do not know, but certainly enough to function for 930 years after the fall. First of all, water is essential for birds and animals to live, and this may relate to the importance laid on the rivers. First of all, Adam was given authority over the fish of the sea, which implied that the sun taught him geography concerning the entire earth and not just the Garden of Eden. All scriptures God breathed, 2 Timothy 2 says, 16 says, all scriptures God breathed, given for doctrinal teaching, for instruction. Correction, for instruction, righteous men of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We must learn. we must learn to think when we read Scripture. Adam wasn't living in a cave. Did he have a house? This is the question that has been raised. We have no record that he built a house or didn't build a house. There was no rain. This came upon the earth. The temperatures were warm, normal temperatures. He may have built a grass covered house, whatever, we don't know exactly what he did. God does not give us instruction in those areas. Could he build a house? Certainly he could. Or a tent or whatever. Certainly he could have. Had God chosen to let him do it. There are mansions, houses, we should say correctly, abodes in heaven. In my Father's house. Many mansions, many abodes, many structures, places of living. That's heaven. Adam was not an ignorant man. He was ignorant of experiential knowledge at the moment he was created and put upon the earth. But like I said, I personally believe he probably lived for about 8 years before Eve came on the earth. The 930 years relates strictly until after the fall. We do not know how long he was there. All right. Possibly what is essential for birds and animals to live is more related to the importance of their rivers. That's why Adam was given authority over the fish of the sea, which implied the sun taught him geography concerning the entire earth and not just the Garden of Eden. This is 129b, which we read. 127, Adam's understanding of the value of gold implied that the sun taught him something about precious metals. All right, in Genesis 2:10, we have the introduction to the concept of the water systems and what was there. And the river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from this it was parted and became as four heads. Verse 11, the name of the first is Pison, that is, which covereth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. He was introduced to precious metals. For the earth, Adam understood the value of bellium. B-E-D-L-I-U-M, that's the Hebrew word, which implied that the sun taught him something about gummarizing, and this may have typified spices and incense. The value in gummarizing, and gum oil, and tree oil. So, 29, Adam understood the value of the onyx stone, implied the sun taught him about precious gems, 2:12. And the golden lamb was good, and there's delium and there's onyx stones. Anyway, Adam was given freedom to eat of any of the fruits and vegetables that grew in the Garden of Eden. Scripture does not state that he did not eat meat or fish. This has been brought out by Joseph Rice and some other pastors over the years. It says that the vegetables were given to him as meat. It does not say that thou shalt not eat meat. Do not eisegete what is not in there. I'm not saying that Adam ate meat and fish or did not eat meat and fish at all. Don't misunderstand. It was in a total vegetarian diet. That's assumed by most. But you cannot point to the scripture and say that that is absolutely what it says. The radio it is, and God said, behold, I've given you every herb, verse 29 of chapter 1, which is upon the face of the earth and every tree. And which there is fruit of the tree yielding seeds, so it's to you it shall be for me. That implies that he was a vegetarian. But we cannot eisegete in beyond the principle of what it is. So there is an issue. What was Adam's authority over the fish in the sea if fish were not available to eat in Genesis 1:29? But what was Adam's authority over the birds of the air if their flesh were not available to eat in Genesis 1:29? Me. Remember the verse God said, behold, I'll give you the herb bearing seed. I'm sorry, verse 28. So 29, I got a typographical error on my nose. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. So the king of the animals free to domesticate animals and use them to his advantage, but many animals have no value as domesticated animals. It says, and then the living thing and move it to the air. Then what we have is the authority of the animal kingdom, what if our meat would not avail for him be, Genesis 1:29. However, fact, fundamental evangelical theology is long held the idea that Adam was forbidden to eat anything but herbs and fruits under the Edenic covenant. First, the life of Jesus means to read into a text something that is not found in it. Next, of Jesus means to read out from the text what it says. Fundamental silence concerning a direct mandate to eat or not eat meat does not mean that we have the right to add to this commandment. Genesis 1:29-30 with 2:15. This is 1:29-30 again. God says, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which shall face the earth, every tree which the fruit of yielding seed, it shall be for me. And all the beasts of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the earth, and all his life, I have given every green herb for me, and it was so. So there are no coniferous animals. There may be no animals. By necessity. Genesis 2:15, Lord God took man. 2:16, Lord God commanded us, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. First of all, in the case, the Son clearly instructed Adam in many facets of ecology, ornithology, and zoology. The animal's responsibility was with the animals. We'll find out about it further along, as the song says, we'll know all about it. Further along, we'll understand why. The animal's given authority there that has been forgotten. Point 31, Adam was given the authority to name all the animals and birds at the same birth and tomb, Genesis 2:19-28. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And what of Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave name to all of the cattle, and to all of the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was no helpmate found. The act of naming the animals that included was included in Adam's inspection of them, and undoubtedly received some instruction on their value and usage as a part of the test to see if he would choose a pet as a substitute for a helpmate. Genesis 2:18, which we just read you, where God said he needed a helpmate, in verse 20, where he refused pets as a substitute, so no helpmate was found for him. Was found. King James reads, but for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. Point 33. Adam went through testing under the divine law of individuality. And his test may have lasted for as much as 1,000 years and passed them all. Definition of the divine law of individuality consists of volition, privacy, responsibility, property rights, and accountability. God gave him volition, the right to choose. He gave him privacy of his own soul to make decisions. He gave him responsibility to make for making good decisions. He gave him property rights by benefiting from his decisions. He gave him accountability for the result of his decisions. Point 34, the Son then added to the theocentric culture a wife, friend, companion, helpmeet, and lover for Adam. Genesis 2:21-25. Eve was to be his wife, his friend, his companion, his helpmeet, and his lover. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Adam said, this is my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. That's sexual intercourse. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. 1:35, this opened the door for the introduction of the divine law of marriage and testing regarding it. Possible definition, the law of marriage consists of one man and one woman and their lifetime commitment to be a friend, companion, helper, and lover to their partner. That's my definition of the law of marriage. It consists of one man and one woman and their lifetime commitment to be a friend, companion, helper, and lover to their partner. If you're divorcing, put it under the blood of Christ and keep moving. Amazing how many Christians I know who doctors think their marriage is separate from their Christian life. In verse 6, the culture of this church is all made out of any companionship with a wife who would have been his lover and his helper. Adam was tested on marriage until he committed his original sin, and then it was the same and the consequence occurred with it, 1 Timothy 2:14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Others, I believe that this testing lasted for approximately 900 years, maybe more. Less than 1,000 years later, would have passed the test. Remember, 1,000 years is like a day to God. 3rd century culture in the Garden of Eden was to produce man, was to provide man, with the opportunity to fellowship with God and to prepare them for Him, for greater fellowship with God. 3rd century culture in the Garden of Eden was to provide man with the opportunity to fellowship with God and to prepare them, as Adam and Eve, for greater fellowship with God. 140. The Father had designed the universe so that the sun, the moon, and the stars carried doctrinal signs to be learned and understood in the dispensation of Gentiles. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. Psalm 19:1. Show with his handiwork. Psalm 97:6. That was declared righteousness, and all the people see his glory. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. American Standard Translation. The heavens declare righteousness, all the people have seen his glory. Psalm 97 is the hymn of God's kingship, opened with a call for all the earth to rejoice in the establishment of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ of Jehovah in verse 1. Jehovah reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many islands be glad. The presence of Jehovah is described in Theophilic language in verses 2 to 6, describing the effects of his kingdom in relation to the wicked evil people in verse 7, and the righteous in verses 8 to 9, includes an exhortation to hate evil and praise the bad in verses 10 to 12. Verses 2 to 6, the eschatological kingdom will be characterized by morality and universality. Verse 7, let all those be ashamed who serve graven images, who boast themselves of idols, worship him on gods. The word gods are also used in verse 9, for thou art the Lord, the most high of all the earth, art exalted far above all gods. It's the use of Elohim to speak in verse 7 of the angelic world, spirit beings, the sons of El. In verse 9, as the fallen ones have come to be worshipped as fallen angels, demons and evil spirits, Psalm 96:5 says, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. You see, they are worshiping the false gods, the spirits and the demons behind the God said, but God's in control of all things. The heavens declare the glory of God, the fruit of his handiwork, his righteousness revealed in the heavens. Jeremy Rice and Billinger have done work on that a long time ago. I'm not going to get into it. I don't have time to go through and study the details out in a way to teach it to you. I'm familiar with what's there. We'll find out more in eternity future, because we are the written word of God. The Gentiles did not have a written official canon of scripture, but they had the NA dispensation. They could read the plan of God to a certain extent in a progressive revelation in the stars and the signs in the heavens. Thankful to the Lord for being able to continue to teach. Now, God gave them the sun, the moon, the stars to look at, to help communicate, understand doctrine that the sun explained to the prophet Adam when Adam was alone in the garden, and continued to explain to it when he had Eve there. 141, this indicated that the sun would also call astronomy to Adam. It relates to all his relationship to God. Not astrology now. Astronomy. Job understood a lot of astronomy. Job had a fantastic understanding of animal life and of many other things. We lose the concept of what Job had. This is something you and I need to understand. For example, Job understood fingerprints. God put his mark in man's hand. Job understood the snow, ice, and all kinds of things in an incredible way. Job was not an ignorant man. He understood that his life came from God. Job 27:2, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, the Almighty, who hath vexed my soul. All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. The Spirit of God is in my nostrils. Questions that come before us, we need to understand. When Job wrote in Job chapter 26, hell is naked before him, and destruction no covering, Sheol the grave is before him, showing God's omniscience and seeing, knowing all things, and omnipresence and being all presence. He has stretched out the north over an empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. God placed the earth inside the axis by which it would revolve around the sun. He bindeth up waters in thick clouds, and the cloud is not run out of them. He holdeth back the face of his throne and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He encompasseth the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divide the sea with his power, and by understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens, his hand hath formed the crooked serpent. See, everything was under the hand of God. He understood these things. He had a tremendous knowledge beyond the comprehension of many people alive in the world today, because they don't care and want to know. Handed down undoubtedly to the Sethic culture, from Adam to Seth, who also held the gift of prophecy, and endowed to the rest of the group. To Shem, to Job. 142, the teaching would not have included the doctrine of the gospel of the stars, because this doctrine would not have been revealed until Adam's fall and redemption. This teaching would not have included the doctrine of the gospel and the stars, because this doctrine would not have been revealed until Adam's fall and redemption. God put it there. It wasn't revealed until later. All right, this brings us to a summary of the theocratic culture. We want to summarize the theocratic culture in the garden. Point one, the Son placed Adam in the Garden of Eden in a theocentric culture, a God-centered culture designed for him to have fellowship with the Creator God. This is 1:26-28, as I've been reading from the King James. Let me read from New American Standard, not to confuse you, but so you can have a comparative. Then God said, let us make man our image according to our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Every any tree in the garden, you may eat freely." Number 2, the culture was designed to offer Adam and Eve a lifestyle. The culture was designed to offer Adam a lifestyle and the opportunity to be trained to rule over the earth under the guidance and direction of the Spirit. Verses 1:26-30. And God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds in the sky of the sky and over the cattle and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed shall be food for you, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth which has life. I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. Point 3, the culture was perfect in all ways. Genesis 1:31a, and God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Point 4, the culture was designed to teach Adam to live under the divine law of individuality. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. A, the Son taught Adam to use his volition to make good choices. Genesis 2:16. Lord God commanded man, saying, from any tree of the fruit garden you may eat freely. That's making choices. B, the Son taught Adam to use responsibility. So he taught him to use his volition to make good choices. 2:16. The Son taught Adam to use responsibility in making decisions. 2:17-8. But you're not the good evil, you shall eat of it. C, Adam was created first and left alone for many age of individuality. Teach him the value of privacy. Genesis 2:7. Lord God found man of the dust of the earth, with his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living being. D, at first the Son placed Adam in the Garden of Eden to teach him the value of property rights. Verse 15. Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. E, the Son gave Adam a negative command to teach him accountability. Verse 17. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. The day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. Point 5, the theocentric culture included daily spiritual life fellowship between Adam and his Creator God. Genesis 2:16. The Lord God commanded man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. There's communication. Verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. Communication, verse 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Point 6, that the theocentric culture included a work ethic for Adam. This is 2:15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. Principle work is not a part of the curse upon the Adamic human race as a result of original sin, because work in and of itself can be good. Principle original sin brought a curse that included the fact that work would now be a struggle and not just a pleasure, as had been part of Adam's sin. This is 3:17-19b. And the enemy said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree, upon which I command you, saying, you shall eat from it curses the ground because of you. And pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till they return to the ground. Because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Point 7, the theocentric cause, included the use of astronomy to help Adam understand God and His Word, Genesis 1:14. And God said that there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. Psalm 19:1 again, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament His handiwork. Psalm 97:6, the earth declare His righteousness, and all the people have seen His glory. 4:8, the theocentric culture was designed for Adam to have dominion over fish, birds, and animals. Genesis 1:29. Got a lot of health problems. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. 4:9, the theocentric culture was designed for Adam to master the art of farming, Genesis 2:15-8. And that then, sorry, that was 1:2:15-8. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, I'm sorry, that's 16. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it. Looked down the wrong way through bifocals. You got to forgive me for that. Another one of the ramifications of some of my health problems is the eyesight continues to deteriorate slowly. Alright, the theocentric culture was designed for Adam to master the art of farming, horticulture. It's important for him to understand this because he was designed to be a farmer. A farmer was an honorable thing. Today, a farmer, because of the hard work and the curse, has become something not popular. We have taken some of the greatest farmland in the world and destroyed it from being farmed. We've gone to the mega farm concept instead of the small farmer, and we're reaping what we sow. The United States is the second largest apple grower in the whole world, and yet I go into grocery stores and they're selling me New Zealand apples. Even when they're in season, they're selling me British Columbia apples under NAFTA. The cost of transporting an apple into this country from a foreign country, when you live in the state of Washington, versus transporting an apple across the mountains from east, from Yakima, is ridiculous, or up from Vancouver. But it shows that man is ever learning but never coming to a knowledge of truth. They have no common sense of things. The idea of shuffling food all over the world and massive amounts, particularly foods that are available where they're at, instead of cultivating and doing what we should do here, is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But everybody wants to be rich. Nobody wants to go back and live. And I'm not particularly anxious to go live with coal oil lamps and wood stoves and outhouses. But yet there's no line. Greed does not draw a line as to where to stop. What's enough of something? When does somebody have enough? Where does faith come in? Point 10, the theocentric culture was designed for Adam to utilize gold and precious metals. Genesis 2:11. The name of the first is Pishon, that flows from the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. The theocentric culture was designed for Adam to utilize gum resin and perhaps all types of spices, incense, 12b. And delium represents the gum resins. Precious metals, gold, silver, all the precious metals are summed up in gold, the most precious of metals. And we get the gum rises, we get the benefit of the tree saps and things that come from this. 12, the theocentric culture was designed for Adam to utilize precious gems, as represented by the onyx stone. Genesis 2:12. See? And the onyx stone are there. 13, the theocentric culture was designed for Adam to not only be an astronomer, Genesis 1:14. And God said, let there be lights and expanse in the heavens and separate the day from the night and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and for years. But he was to be a botanist, Genesis 1:29. God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, every tree which the fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. An ichthyologist, ornithologist, and zoologist, Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish in the sea, over the birds in the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Mark 14. The theocentric culture gave Adam responsibility for guarding the Garden of Eden, which would require constant alertness to any strange and happenings and dependence upon the Creator God to explain to him their meaning. Genesis 1, or 2, if I'm sorry, Genesis 2. 15b. The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate, that's the first part, and to keep it, Shamar, we saw S-H-A-M-A-R, meaning to guard it, military term. First of all, this verse made him God, the Son taught Adam some aspects of angelology, the world of the spirit beings, and the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict. Mark 15, Adam was not confined to the Garden of Eden, and even he was given the responsibility for exploration and development of the world outside the Garden, Genesis 1:28. And God blessed him and said, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. That's the whole earth. And rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Verse 16, once Eve was created, they were married by the Son. The theocentric culture placed Adam as the head of the family, since he held federal headship over the Son, under the Son, over the entire earth. Genesis 2, 21, 25. Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on the man. He slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh of the place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, Ish, Shah in the Hebrew, because she was taken out of man. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Verse 17, everything in the culture was for the purpose of teaching Adam more and more about his Creator God so that he could appreciate him and worship him as his wonderful benefactor. 18, the theocentric culture was God-centered and not man-centered or angelic-centered. 19, the theocentric culture would provide a value system that was underappreciated by the Adamic culture. Utilized in limited ways by the Celtic culture, destroyed by the Kinetic culture, and hated by the demonic culture. We'll come to all of this. The theocentric culture would provide a value system that was underappreciated by the Adamic culture, utilized in limited ways by the Celtic culture, destroyed by the Canaanitic culture, and hated by the demonic culture. Now, God created and put Adam into a perfect environment, a perfect system. What happened to it? Look at Matthew 13. He was in another parable to him, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in the field, but while the men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. The father established a field barn, a field covenant with Lucifer. The appeal covenant was not designed simply to prove Satan wrong and God right. The trial of Lucifer proved all that. Satan was wrong. In the eyes of the elect angels, it was clearly designed to prove, demonstrate the nature of God's righteousness and sin, Satan's error. To demonstrate the fullness of sin nature along with the nature of virtue under divine ideology to a watchdog universe. The angels are observing us all around. The holy elect angels. Now, you must understand, Satan is the prince ruler of the world system. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 19, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That's the whole world system. However, what he actually does then is Satan doesn't rule the whole world in the universe. He rules a kingdom of people who believe his ideology and reject the Father's ideology, the Father's protocol plan of life. The spiritual kingdom on this earth rules it under the operational will of God with its permissive, directive, and overruling issues. The spiritual kingdom on this earth rules it under the operational will of God with its permissive, directive, and overruling will. And this you must understand. God has given man volition. God gave angels volition. But God has determined the ultimate results, the operational will of God. Romans 11:36 says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. The operational will of God. Romans 11:36. God has put everything into the divine decree. God, Ephesians 1:11 says, God worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. All right, now God has the permissive will of God. God is not the cause of sin, but he permits sin to happen. God has the directive will, that which he would have us to do. And God has an overruling will. We've taught this to you more than once. The permissive will of God reveals the fact that God allows men to sin. But God is not the cause of sin. And this is what God always relates to sin. James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. He has his directive will. His directive will is the key issue in life. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy strength, with all of thy might. This is the first and great commandment. Look at Deuteronomy 6:5. But in the context of 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Matthew 22:37, Mark 12:29-30, and Luke 10:27. Go with it. The directed will of God for us to love Him. John 14:15 says, if you love me, obey me. Keep my commandments and obey me. And in the overruling will of God, Psalm 76:10, another verse that we have given you so many times over the years, because it's so key to what's going on. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. Matthew 13:24-25, the Doctrinal Expanded Translation would read, the kingdom of heaven on the earth, and the issues of the spiritual warfare, the angelic conflict, first court covenant, will be compared to the man who sowed good seed, which is the truth of the word of God in his field. But while the planets were sleeping, his enemy Satan, his cosmic ideology, came, and the permissive word of the spiritual kingdom sowed tares. Exalted truth, the satanic lie, satanic ideology designed to look like real truth but have error in it, among the wheat. He sowed alternative truth among the truth of the word of God. He sowed it in another man's spirit and in his cosmic way. Now the law of system tend to oppose his ideology, to attempt to confuse his truth, general ideology, unless you comprehend the angelic covenant, conflict covenant's purpose of resolving certain issues with regard to elect angels. God has established a system to counteract things of man. Well, one day we'll have to try to take a look at Matthew 13 all the way 3-52 to develop this in even greater detail. But we'll end it out. All right, the Adamic culture has been documented. Adamic culture documented. Well, in the book of the prophet Adam is a monograph consisting of two major divisions, Genesis 2:4-3:24. A, section 1, Adam and Eve, is sinner sentences. Genesis 2:1-24. B, section 2, Adam and Eve tested by the Father, tempted by Satan, Adam's original human sin, its consequences, Genesis 3:1-25. Plus, all events recorded in the monograph of Adam occurred during the dispensation of Gentiles, also known as the dispensation of man. 1:2, section 1 is divided into two divisions. A, the age of innocence, the many age of individuality, Genesis 2:4-20. B, the age of innocence, the many age of marriage, Genesis 2:21-25. 3, section 2 is divided into 8 parts and occurs at the close of the age of innocence. A, the first person discourse between the certain serpent, Satan, and Isha, I-S-H-A, that's Eve, the wife, which has been given the name Eve, Genesis 3:1-5. B, Isha is part of the original sin, Genesis 3:6-8. C, Adam's act of original sin, Genesis 3:6b. D, the immediate consequences of the act of original sin, Genesis 3:7-8. E, Adam and Isha tried by the sun, Genesis 3:14-19. F, Isha's name changed to Eve, Genesis 3:20. G, the salvation of Adam and Eve, Genesis 3:21. H, the banishment from the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:22. 24. Now, the entire first section is concerned with the age of innocence and is divided into 3 parts consisting of an introduction and 2 parts covering too many ages. A, section 1 begins with an introduction. First presents a declaration of divine creation. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. This is an account of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made earth and made heaven. A, the fact that God's name of Jehovah appears far in the creation of man is of great significance. Or could you prefer the Yahweh translation? I have a touch of Ramadan there. David and Elohim was used to announce the beginning of creation, Genesis 1:1, the beginning God Elohim created the heavens and the earth. See, it was as Elohim that the proposal was made to eternal life accomplished to make man in an image. Genesis 1:26a, and Elohim blessed them. I'm sorry, verse 26, and Elohim said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. B, the creation of Adam brought with her knowledge by Adam of his creator God as Jehovah Elohim, Genesis 2:4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. B, it was as Jehovah Elohim that the Son revealed himself to Adam and appointed Adam to serve under his federal headship over the earth in Genesis 2:4-6. Our time is up and we'll pick up here in the next class. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is truth. We pray you'll continue to give us the strength of voice to be able to teach. May the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ bless this doctrine and make it a challenge to each one who studies it. Help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.